Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Girls just want to have fun, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name is Marcus Spanner, and come and meet the girls. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And the bosomiest of them all, Pete Donaldson.
What do you know about girls, Marcus?
Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365, everybody. I know tons, mate.
Pull up to my bumper, baby.
Hey, that was last week.
Oh, was it?
And didn't you just?
Keep going.
Yeah, I don't really know the rest of it,
to be honest. No, I don't think you need to.
I'm not a big DISCO fan.
You don't need to. I'm not either, actually. It's probably my least enjoyed music genre.
Is that right?
Disco, I'd say, yeah. I'd say so, yeah.
Next to that throat singing.
Oh, okay. Well, Mongolian.
That's
a didgeridoo.
Yeah, that's a didgeridoo.
Can I just take the moment to remind you, Pete, we have listeners.
Not for long.
Stop putting them off with Mongolian throat singing.
Yeah, that's actually a didgeridoo.
Yeah. I'm in a way, I'm surprised that's the first time you've done that.
Yeah. I had a good old crack at it, and I don't think it went too badly.
No.
All right.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Are we ready to talk about the Premier League action this weekend, guys?
Yes.
The Mongolian throat singing of football Premier League fixtures, Stoke versus West Ham.
At this stage of the season, yes.
Yeah.
Very much so. Both sides can guarantee their Premier League status this weekend. Actually, only one of them can, really.
I don't think they're really in doubt, though, are they?
Yeah, I was going to say.
They'll be all right.
That's West Brom only being 8 million points off the Champions League places or whatever it was.
I don't know if that's still possible, Jim.
No, I don't feel that it is.
But it was at one point this season.
Break the listeners in gently to that fact. Yeah. They'll be devastated.
Is it fair to say that away to Stoke is always a tricky fixture?
No.
And West Ham might find it a little taxing?
Laugh
out loud.
Yeah, let's get Pete on this, because obviously
he knows the tax systems in this country.
We have to tread carefully legally, but what we can say is there's been an investigation.
There's been an investigation.
Some arrests have been made.
Yeah.
Exactly how long, if you guys know, to the nearest minute, did Newcastle fans get to enjoy their promotion? Because I don't know about you,
it's amazing,
but it almost seemed to me like they waited for that to be confirmed.
It's like HMRC waited to rain on the parade you're not even having.
Isn't HMRC based up in the northeast?
They were. I tell you what, the day that the investigations happened was the day that I think the Inland Revenue, like some kind of tax organisation, was having like a jolly at St James's Park.
Amazing.
So they were on hand immediately.
Phone rings. Have you got a minute? Yeah. Just while you're there,
we've drunkenly been through your filing cabinet.
Yeah. Isn't HMRC? Isn't a lot of it, or certainly the call
centre, ring a bell?
Based in North East. Because
I don't know, Marcus.
Yeah, when I phone them, because they often request that I do. Often there's a North East accent. I wonder if it's nearer to Sunderland.
I don't know if they are only able to investigate people in the general area there.
But no, I'm saying, but if there is some kind of maybe Sunderland link, they thought, let's get them. Yeah. Let's wait to them.
No, but are you worried that you might finally have to sell Jose Perez to Barcelona?
All those players, goodness me! I mean,
the biggest surprise here for me is that I don't know if you guys agree, is that Sylvain Marveau was at the club for 5 full seasons.
Yeah, really? Cisco-esque.
5 years, basically. Jim, right? Marveau was signed to Newcastle on a 5-year contract.
Yeah,
he sought out that contract.
My God, was he on loan elsewhere for most of it?
Yeah, he went out and about. Right. He played a couple of the contract.
I think we can say that's marvellous. Yeah. All right. Well, they are now, I suppose.
They were desperate to be marvellous.
Yeah, wasn't it a link between them and Marseille that was the issue or something? Either way, it was either Marvo or Ben Arthur. I thought, don't bring Ben Arthur into this. He's brilliant.
Not again. He's good now. I haven't seen his progress.
He was brilliant then.
He had his moments, didn't he? Yeah. Apparently, Rafa Benitez hasn't received any thanks from Mike Ashley for getting his team promoted.
He did have a press conference today in which he said he had been thanked.
Okay.
He didn't want to immediately thank him because Benitez didn't, because he didn't want Benitez sending him a lot of emojis back with like dollar signs saying, show me the money, give me the money, I need money.
Just photos of players he wants to sign.
Yeah. I can't ever think Mike Ashley would welcome a transfer ban, to be quite frank. He'd be like, he's expensing steak bakes and Viennettas. God, they'll never catch me. Don't want to buy any players. Yay.
Well, and obviously West Ham and the other side being investigated as well. How does this affect the stadium migration? That's what I want to know.
Who knows? Either way, keep your receipts and pay your taxes is our advice.
West Ham obviously are playing away at Stoke City. And
never ideal.
It isn't really, is it? I mean, I wonder if Bilic...
Do you imply that it's just people just don't like visiting Stoke?
No, that wasn't what I was saying at all. Right. No, because weren't the Stoke fans, weren't they the loudest fans? Just, there was some sort of percentage thing they did, because obviously it's not the biggest stadium in the country, so it would be quite a good place to go.
I mean, they are the Baywatch of football teams at the moment.
Why'd you say that?
We're just on the beach. No, they don't care.
I thought David Hasselhoff...
As the teams come out, there'll be some people staying.
Although
they've only got parasols in their hands.
Yeah. Baywatch is very, like a lot of people smiling in Baywatch, as you would if you lived in that part of the world. Mark Hughes, not a smiley man.
No, particularly last weekend when Arnautovic missed that penalty. Hughes' face was absolutely just incredible.
But I can see Arnautovic this week with a 99 in his hand.
Yeah.
You know, the strawberry sauce dripping down his finger.
Do you want a quick email from Matt in LA? It's kind of on this sort of situation where mid-table teams, they don't really try. He's got a suggested rule change for relegation. The 19th and 20th place teams in the table are relegated, as always. However, the 10th place team enters a one-game playoff with the 18th place team. The loser goes down.
That's mental.
That is good, though, because everyone's on their toes then. Watford, Southampton,
et al. So if you finish 10th or 18th?
If you finish 10th, there's a chance to get relegated.
Yeah, exactly. So everyone
has to... 11th, that was lucky.
Exactly. So everyone either has to tread water before the 10 point.
No, that's bad, though, because say you get a team like, say, for example, Bournemouth, who have a surprisingly good season. Finishing 10th for them is a massive achievement.
Hate the player, hate the game. Hate Matt from LA.
The mistake you made there, Jim, was engaging him.
Yeah, it's not him,
It's not Matt from LA.
Yeah, but he's endorsing it.
He's in literal Baywatch, and he's doing that.
Yeah, and Matt from LA is not doing anything for the reputation of American football fans. which, in my experience, are very knowledgeable and very passionate. That has undermined it.
Basically, what he's saying is, teams don't try, do they? So why don't we get a load of teams who are hovering around mid-table to stop trying so they finish 13th or 14th rather than 10th?
If anything, Marcus,
it makes it worse.
It shouldn't be 10th. It should be a random position between 10th and 17th.
See, now you're engaging in it.
So
now it's a good idea.
And get 9th. I've refined it.
Maybe the team that has run the least.
Yeah, that's what I said to you last week, or the week before. Yeah,
or the year before.
Yeah,
well, it comes up every year. This sort of stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a blistering game. The Britannia. I'm a bit concerned about Bilic this summer. But actually, West Ham, they can still finish in the top half. I know half the league can, but. But in the circumstances, considering you now have not just a top six, you've got a top six, and then you've got sort of Everton on their own in 7th, West Brom sort perhaps on their own in 8th. So a top half finish is pretty respectable.
Well, certainly after that massive, almost season long wobble they had in the middle of the season, it's kind of like
after the migration.
It was a bad start they had, wasn't it?
Well, they had a terrible start. They picked it up at around December.
They've been patchy though, haven't they? They've had little bursts where they've got themselves back into it. But it's been a weird. It feels like it's been about three seasons at once. Pyatt leaving seems forever ago.
Yeah, right. That was only in January.
It was like they couldn't win at home, and then like their away form started suffering a little bit, and that's what took them into the relegation.
Well, Antonio's head has dried up, and then they didn't have a plan B, and then they thought, Carroll's the plan B, but he's only the plan B for about 10 minutes, and it's a bloody good 10 minutes. I will give him that, but you need more than 10 minutes. But do you think Bilic could be off in the summer? Do you think that would be harsh?
I don't think West Ham would be in the relegation spots. I don't think they got quite.
Well, they got closer, didn't they?
Yeah,
they were.
They were
a little bit in the wrong direction.
Well, the issue was as well. well, as I mentioned at the time, was that the board and the owners just kept undermining Bilic. And it got to the point maybe a couple of weeks ago where stuff was coming out, and I said on this show at the time, you're not going to fire him. Just stop saying stuff could happen. If you're going to do it in the summer, fine.
Yeah. They just talk a good game, don't
exactly,
they?
Exactly. So I think... it probably would be a bit harsh. I think he's had a lot to deal with this season. I know a lot of fans might feel that he blames the players a bit too much, and perhaps there is a better option out there. But Jim touched on it, and I think he's right. The player thing was a difficult one to deal with, and I think he handled it well. The stadium thing was very, very difficult, and we've seen teams in the past struggle when they move to new stadiums, and we'll see teams in the future do the same. You know, if Spurs go to Wembley next season, which of course they may not do, they need to get used to that pretty quick. So it can happen.
Yeah.
I think overall he's done a competent job to keep... They'll probably finish mid-table this season, and that's okay.
Part of me was hoping that they would be in a relegation scrap, and Bilic... I don't want to obviously hope Bilic loses his job, because I actually quite like Bilic. But a Paolo Di Canio rescue job.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, we like the drama of that, don't we? But listen, Stoke are evens with Bet365 to beat West Ham on Saturday. So £10 returns, £20 including stake. West Ham have got a... it's a bit of a mixed bag of a running after that. I think they're at home to Spurs, which is obviously a derby and will be tough, because Spurs could well still be gunning for the title then. And then they play Liverpool at home, and they're away to Burnley, which, you know, is a tough one as well. So they do really need to get something here.
They do. Burnley are away to Crystal Palace, of course. Nearly the same for both these sides, in that they could effectively sort of seal their Premier League status for next season.
All to play for this weekend, isn't it?
But these are the sides who actually... if they just get a little bit complacent, with Swansea winning and Hull winning as well, they might get a little bit of momentum. I know
we've talked about momentum before. It's really important. If you look at Burnley, they're probably going to... it's easy just to say they're going to have enough to stay up, right? But they've won one game since January 31st. their form is absolutely dreadful.
They're just resting on the laurels of the form they had earlier in the season, so they could be in trouble.
Mm. It was the Phil Brown one at Hull. Remember that, when they had a pretty good start to the season? In fact, by their own standards, a brilliant first half of the season.
They had a striker in form, though, as well, didn't they?
They did. And was it Giovanni?
The season that Hull stayed up on the last day without winning a game for
that's
6 months.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
And Phil Brown started singing.
Yeah, of course.
How can you forget
that? Was it Giovanni? He scored an absolute belter, was it?
No, it was against Arsenal. It was the Emirates.
Was it at the Emirates?
Yeah.
Well, that free kick.
Oh, no. You're talking about Giovanni?
Yeah.
No, they might have been different goals, but he certainly scored a...
Okay, but it was that season anyway.
Let's take it to YouTube, gentlemen.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, the listeners are going mad now, saying, of course it was or wasn't.
get involved.
They did, yeah, right. They did that, didn't they? Where the first half of the season, and they thought, right, we are fine. We have got about 6 months off now. Mm. And then on the last day of the season, they were like, oh, crap. But they lost, though, didn't they, on the last day? And then basically...
The results went for them, and they stayed out. It was preposterous that Phil Brown should have just taken his team off that pitch as quickly as possible.
That was where it all went down. But basically, it's not a good way to manage a club, and we're worried for Burnley.
I think, you know, look, they've got... their home form keeps them going, doesn't it? And they've got West Brom at home and West Ham at home still to come. Mm. And, you know, look at the point situation. They don't need that many more points. But, you know, it's a bit of a gamble when you rely so heavily on your home form, because I think, didn't they lose at home to United fairly recently?
Yes, they did.
And they've struggled against, even at home, they've struggled against good teams.
Even Rooney scored.
There we go. So they should be okay, but the momentum thing is important at this stage of the season. And you've got to fear for them. And then you've got to look at what they're going to do next season and how they're going to strengthen, because the type of football they play is quite sort of, not unique, but quite sort of specific.
Yeah.
And you know, going for an entire season, they didn't even manage to beat Middlesbrough away, did they? They drew 0-0 with them, I think, away. Yeah. So away from home, they're terrible, obviously. But I think they probably, having said all that, I think they'll probably be fine.
Yeah, you look at the Palace game, though. I don't see how they're going to get anything out of that, the form Palace. And I know they lost to Tottenham the other night, but they put in another good, spirited display.
They did.
And at home as well, they've made a little bit of a fortress. If Palace finish in the top half, which they could, like, will they win the league next year?
I mean, that is madness. It didn't look like it was going to happen for Sam, but it kind of has. It just took about five or six games to get...
Didn't Saka get injured against Spurs?
But they were able to beat
Liverpool without Saka.
It's a great show.
It might be a ligament injury as well, which would mean he'd be out for about 9 months, which would be so sad.
It would be. We keep saying that, oh, they can finish in the top. Is this the first season that about 12 teams are going to finish in the top half. I don't know. But Manchester United certainly will. They're at home to Swansea. The Swans need another win, especially as Hull are away to Southampton, which is obviously a more winnable game. Middlesbrough beat Sunderland 1-0. Now, they've triggered the six-point threshold rule.
No, so it doesn't count at the bottom. It doesn't count at the bottom for a very important reason. The teams at the bottom never win.
Yeah.
So it takes the teams at the bottom about 50 times longer to get 6 points than it takes a team at the top.
Well, I mean, I hope Newcastle do still, because they're the only good news story in
still
the North East.
Already thinking about it.
Newcastle stay up. You're promoted.
I mean, sorry, go up.
If they still go up, they get like a 10-point deduction. Oh, you're third by a point.
That's happened before.
Yeah, Middlesbrough, I mean, okay, well, let's just... Is their survival bid back on? You obviously don't think so. There's 6 points.
No, they're gone.
They've got four games left. Three of them against Man City, Chelsea and Liverpool, Jim. Do you need to finish your sentence?
I was just going
to
say, I also think they're gone.
Yeah, okay.
The,
okay.
The best chance they had, they probably needed to get something out of the Arsenal game, which they didn't. The best chance they had was this Bournemouth game where Gaston Ramirez just decided that the whole city of Liverpool were destined to suffer. And they got destroyed by Bournemouth because he got sent off for 20 minutes. Marcus, they got Man City, Chelsea, Liverpool left.
They need to invite all of the teams that they play on at the Transporter Bridge and just flick them off into the river.
That's what they need to do.
Bang! Right in the tees.
Do you get the points if you do that?
I don't know.
Or do you just go to jail?
Something illogically and legally, more importantly.
I was going to say, for crying
Flick
out
him
loud.
In the sea.
Anyway, weren't we talking about Man United v Swansea?
I think so, yeah. Man United versus Swansea. Great shame about Ibrahimovic.
A big shame. Yeah.
I mean, that people are saying that could be the end of his Manchester United career because it's a bad one.
Yeah, I read that a few newspapers were saying that, were quoting that Zlatan is already, in quote, mentally over his United time and he's looking to move to MLS now.
Well, it would make more sense now, wouldn't it, after a big injury like that he would you know, take on a challenge in a league
to be fair to United. United, they said in return, they said, well, at least use our facilities to get well again. At least use our recovery facilities in the meantime, which is quite a nice gesture. But it's looking like he's going to be out for a very long time. And I know he does keep himself in good nick. And someone said to me, I might have mentioned this on the show before, someone said to me, probably got the physique and the athleticism of a man like 5 years younger than he is. But it's still a big ask, especially given that United want to compete a little bit more competitively next season. Across a number of different competitions, and also the fact that a lot of people are saying now that, you know, they look a better, different side, at least a different side without Zlatan in it.
Yeah,
and all the players around are a little bit different to him, aren't they?
I wonder if it's if you like a blessing in disguise for some of those Man United fans and the club, because Ibrahimovic, there was an option to extend his contract by a year. A lot of people, I'd be interested if Manchester United fans feel that, but certainly some of them would think, well, you should take that option. Mourinho might think of doing it, but they've been linked with Griezmann a lot. I know that gets a bit boring and whatnot, but you never know in football.
Oh, he's linked with him every week.
Yeah, he is. But they clearly want to get a top quality centre forward in.
Yeah.
And if they did, say, get a Griezmann, would Ibrahimovic start? You know, and would a player like that be happy just spending a lot of time on the bench?
I don't care like how long, how old the player is, and how in such good nick he's in. I just think that sort of injury takes at least 6 months to get back up to speed.
I think it's 9 months.
He doesn't have that sort of time.
No, but that's what I mean. So therefore, that solves that potential conundrum.
The other role that Zlatan plays is he essentially implements Mourinho's ideas and attitude and game plan on the pitch. He's like Mourinho's general on the pitch.
Yeah,
so I wouldn't be surprised.
Mourinho's always had players like that, whether it be Drogba or even
Terry. So that's the role he's playing. But all things being equal, I wouldn't be at all surprised if he moved on. The Griezmann thing rears its head every single week. I mean, you and I, Marcus, do the newspapers on the radio sometimes, and it's in the newspapers every day, isn't it? You know, there's different one. It's mostly puff pieces and stuff just being like put around there because it sells papers. But there's definitely a link there. I wouldn't be hugely surprised if Maynard go back into the transfer market in a big way in the summer. I think everyone expects the same. And if that's the case, then they can't be relying on the position they're in. They can't be relying on a 36-year-old man.
And a pricey
gonna
one
be
as well.
Who's going to have...
35,
who's essentially going to have no pre-season to build their attacking lineup around.
But when I said 6 months, I meant 6 months after you've started playing again to get back up to speed, you know what I mean?
It might not be that long, but it's going to... I mean, we're getting into the weeds here, but some people say that, you know, pros take 9-10 games anyway at the start of the season to get up to full match fitness. So it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
He's old. They're not going to build their whole future or the near future around him, are they?
Isn't a lot of MLS pitches, aren't they, all weather? I wouldn't want to start back off for an injury like that.
Do you know what, though? Yeah. MLS is fast. It's quite fast-paced, quite physical as well, so I don't know how he'll do there. But you imagine he'd do pretty well. But I think, you know, at least, even if this is his last season in England, at least we had it.
Yeah. It was a good one. It was a good one as well.
Yeah, it was a good one. He scored all the goals, and he won a trophy and scored a winning goal in a Wembley final.
Anyway, we can all look forward to them drawing 1-1 with Swansea at the weekend.
Yes, exactly.
At Old Trafford. And by the way, United are 10-11 favourites now at Bet365 to win the Europa League. Possibly, well, many people are saying their best chance of getting into the Champions League next season. So £10 on that returns £19.09, including stake.
And also, Zlatan would get a medal for that, rightly so. So he played a big part in it. So he could end as a European champion, which he's never done.
Yeah, look at us worried about Ibrahimovic's trophy cabinet. Oh, you'll get a medal. He'll be all right, won't he?
The man with the biggest ego in the world.
He's the sort of man to reject a second-tier European trophy. Yeah.
Maybe this is all a ruse.
Yeah. I don't know. I noticed in the build-up to the Manchester derby, there weren't that many mind games from Mourinho, was there?
No.
Quite relatively
exhausted, maybe.
I think I might smell a link klaxon coming up. Right, okay. I mean, he gets that look in his eye.
Okay. I mean, of course, we remember Alex Ferguson's mind game.
There it is.
Yeah, okay.
You're letting people, casual listeners of radio behind the curtain here.
Yeah, you are.
I know. It's a great experience for them.
I think we all remember Terry McDermott. Who, of course, was one Keegan's assistant at Newcastle United.
You want to be careful here, because Terry McDermott is a man very close to Pete's heart.
He was always sat to the left of Keegan. People used to call him the cockroach because he was never fired through successive 10 years of managers.
The cockroach.
Why was he? Wow.
The Northeast is the only place I know of. That would use that term as an affectionate moniker.
It's too cold for cockroaches. We'd quite like to see them.
Messi's nickname's the Flea.
Yeah.
So that's
it's a bit different though, isn't it?
It is a bit different. Yeah, but yeah, cockroach. Yeah,
come on, it's garbage. Well,
Terry McDermott. Speaking of mind games, as we were for quite a long time there.
Just start the sentence with Terry McDermott.
Just after
we were talking about Sean Wright Phillips. We were talking at length.
Sean Wright Phillips was having a mind game with Terry McDermott, and McDermott won. But he believed. That Alex Ferguson's mind games were a load of crap and didn't influence Keegan or the team at all. And he said of Keegan, in reference to that famous TV rant when obviously Keegan went, you know, I will love it if we beat them, love it, and cracked up in front of the nation. He said about Keegan, he knew what he was doing, Kevin. He's no fool, believe me. I don't believe it, Terry.
Wasn't it? He's no one's fool. He's Alex Ferguson's fool. He's still Alex Ferguson's fool. I had no influence. It still haunts me every single night, but it had no influence. Love it.
The interviewers. Like,
I do love it.
The interviewer saying, Terry, we didn't even ask you about that. Where's that come from?
So how will Newcastle do next season, Terry?
Maybe that's what this is. They're putting this out as a smokescreen. Oh,
he knew what he was doing, Kevin.
Terry, can you stop calling me?
He's got it written on his hand. Who wrote that? That's not your handwriting. Shush.
Oh, good old Tezza.
Yeah, there we are.
Good old cockroach.
Maybe we can move on to Terry McDermott for a bit. Yeah? Give him a chance. Give him a pop every 5 minutes.
When's he going to be the number one at St James's?
He's been number two for so many years.
Exactly. He's what John Gorman was to Glenn Hoddle. John Gorman doesn't get a mention that often on this show.
Yeah. I wonder if Keegan's still working at Newcastle, you know, just doing a bit of admin.
Just around the office.
Have you put the accounts, Kevin?
I like the way you said working. I'm just working now.
Where have you put the returns, Kevin? I put it in that filer cabinet. That's a bin, Kevin. Kevin,
I've filed some of these things so well, no one's ever going to find them.
I just put everything in that furnace.
We're going to talk about the North London Derby after this.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, everybody. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a treat for you. And you know it, it's the 27th of May, Hackney Empire. We're going to be there on the stage and you're going to have a lovely time with us, because we're going to have a lovely time.
It's a Saturday night.
It is a Saturday
after
night.
After the FA Cup final, it'll be a great time.
Start well after the FA Cup final. And so you've got plenty of time. It's going to be a brilliant occasion.
And also, it's payday today when the show comes out, so you've got no excuse not to buy a couple of tickets.
Yeah, at least a couple.
Have a beer with us.
Have a beer with us.
Stay in town.
No, nobody's staying at my house.
Pete, you can...
Well, we haven't decided yet.
Pete told me earlier he's going to get 50 house keys made. Yeah. And he's going to put them under people's seats in the arena.
Arena.
The room.
It is called the arena, to be fair.
And if they can get his address, they can go back to his house.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to follow me home. That's like a little kind of like escape the room kind of puzzle at the end.
We will give out your address.
Okay,
Pete,
don't
worry. People are going to follow you home. Nice role reversal.
it's barely a home.
A hovel.
A grief hole.
Please grief don't game. Tell anyone how I live.
Let's have some emails, Pete Donaldson.
Yes. Emails, yay!
Emails of the week. And I'm just like, there's an explosion, I'm just walking away from him, not even looking backwards.
No, you've clicked the key fob. Yes. And the car's exploded.
Yes! Yeah. Email of the week! Yeah. Emails. Yeah. So we were talking about, have you met a footballer? Have you got that? Blah, 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 blah. Tom served Darren Huckabee a Corona and he asked for a lime cordial and said a bit of lime. Disgusting, says Tom.
That's fine.
Steve Curtis. No, it isn't strange.
A lager and lime. The lime was only there to keep the lime. Yeah, I know, but the lime was only there to keep the flies away.
No, but generally you wouldn't have it with cordial.
Yeah, but he can.
All right.
You should have asked him why he was too good for the Championship but not good enough for the Premier League. Mm.
Him scoring the best goal ever.
He's the archetypal one of those.
Steve Curtis says Norwich hero Ian Crook once helped him erect a Christmas tree in his nan's house. And after that would often pop round to his nan's with food and gifts.
I remember Ian Crook. I'm fairly certain he was terrible.
No, he was almost an England player, I seem to recall.
Oh, was he? Okay.
He was knocking on the door.
Was he part of that Norwich European adventure?
Yeah.
Surprised he didn't steal the tree with a name like that.
Oh, good.
Oh, hey.
Lawrence,
friend of a cabbie. Michael Owen waited for his £2.80 change.
That's good, isn't it? It's what you'd expect, though.
A little bit, yeah. Tom Campbell blew off in front of Peter Reid. extending like apparently did a blow off and Peter Reid came out of the cubicle and gave him a you know what you've done face.
So, is that right?
Yeah. Hotel bar.
Tim Hodge says, hi gang, I thought this might interest you. Australia Post, the newspaper, are offering what I assume are the dirty used contents of Tim Cahill's locker, including his toothbrush.
Wow.
They're actually doing this. He sent like a picture, like a little kind of flyer thing.
What, it's a competition?
Yeah, like, so you can win like some, you know, some premium consumer electronics like an iPad or something, but also in there there's a toothbrush and a signed shirt and stuff like that.
If you got that, you'd have all Tim Cahill's rubbish music on it.
Yeah, that is true, actually.
Yeah, you'd have to delete that, sure.
You'd have to format it. It's just more admin. If you win that prize, it's just more admin.
What
I would say, I would very much like the contents of Tim Cahill's locker because I'd have his DNA for a voodoo doll.
I don't think voodoo dolls have DNA in them. I know you don't like me thinking logically.
I do not like Tim Cahill.
I'm updating voodoo. He always used to score his Newcastle and make a big deal out of
it. You must hate a number of people.
Tim Hodge does go on to say, it got me thinking about the contents of current and former players' lockers and who I'd like to win, or who's I'd like to win. Sticking with an Aussie theme, Mark Bosnich's could be quite interesting.
Yeah.
Michael Woodman says...
He follows us on Twitter now, by the way, so be careful.
Be careful. Michael Woodman says, Hull is the UK City of Culture 2017, not the European City of Culture, as you erroneously claimed. Mick Richardson... Mick Richardson, a Sunderland fan, says, for me, my highlight of the week has to be Sunderland fans singing, you're going down with the Sunderland, and Borough fans retaliating with, you're going down with the Borough.
I remember being at Fratton Park once when some away Portsmouth were doing terribly and they eventually got relegated, but the away fans were singing going down, going down, going down, then Pompey fans sung back, so are we, so are we, so are we.
Beautiful. This is a long one, so settle in, and it's basically a man looking for a bit of advice.
Okay.
Steve, Hi, boys. Though this email is only sort of connected to football, I thought your long history of being unofficial agony uncles to the football-loving listeners might serve you in good stead when dispensing advice. Basically, a close friend is getting married soon, and me and his circle of friends and colleagues are all excited about a great man entering the next stage of this thing we call life. Anyway, we're all lambed to hear that although we hang out with this chap at least 3 times a week, text back and forth every single day, and although we're invited to the wedding itself, we were not invited to the stag do. At the stag do in question, they saw some comedy, they went to the football, and they also indulged in the time-honoured sport of laser tag. With the impending nutshells on the horizon, we are obviously upset about not being invited to Quasar Laser because he loved Quasar Laser, and just wondered if the ramble had any advice. I don't want to be forced into a situation where I stand up and object in church, but I am more than willing to do so because my soul is in turmoil. Any guidance willingly accepted, Steve. P.S. The groom is a little hairy boy.
Very clever.
Steve, that was Steve at hotmail.com. So.
Spurs are hosting Arsenal.
Have the names been changed in that?
Just No, maybe. They didn't mention who it was, to be honest,
no.
My name.
No. It would be nice to know, but I understand if we can't know.
Absolutely. Will Alexis Sanchez recover after his fat lip, Jim?
I don't think so. It looked very serious. If you saw...
It was a big hole in his lip, wasn't it?
I was just surprised to see any lip left.
Yeah, well, it hit his shoulder. So it must have hit his shoulder so hard for the swelling to show up on his lip.
Yeah. And I love that... The ball hitting him in the shoulder and him hitting the deck isn't embarrassing enough for him that he has to go to social media and go, no, actually, it was really painful. Look at my fat lip. Face.
I mean, what I would say is that it looks like that... You could have easily just bit that lip, couldn't you? And gone, look at this. It's horrible.
Yeah. You could have. Yeah, I could have. He hasn't done that.
If a fat lip makes you hit the deck, you want to be ashamed of yourself.
There's a little pause as well, though. It's like, what can I do here?
I can
only fall over.
They're the best ones. When football players embarrass... So the type of... Right, you guys know what I'm talking about here. You might not have an exactly same example, but you know what I mean. When you watch football with, say, your father-in-law, and he's not that into football, the first thing he says is, why do the players always throw themselves on the floor, right?
Mm, yeah.
That is the classic example of that. And you can't justify it, but by far the best ones are when there's a gap. When there's like a 1 or 2 second gap, they've thought about it, then they're hitting the
deck. Yeah. Gaston Ramirez,
Rivaldo's a famous one, Brazil.
It's like toddlers, though, isn't it? It takes a couple of seconds for them to start going, because the pain takes a couple of seconds
They wait to see the parents' reaction.
Exactly. They wait to see if they're going to get the attention. If they're not, they'll cry to get it. Yeah. That's Alexis Sanchez in a nutshell. And also, I happen to think he's a terrible football player.
Yeah?
No. I think he's absolutely fantastic.
Did Fuchs mean to blast the ball at his face? Because Veng seems to think so.
Big Veng did, yeah.
He's got to protect his player, isn't he?
Big Veng's going to jump to the defence of it. You know what? You would, wouldn't you? You would do that.
You wouldn't be happy about it.
No.
You'd be like, what have I got to do now?
As soon as I close the front door, I'll be bollocking him. But in public, I'll be saying, yeah. But, you know, for this game, I think, is it right that Koscielny and Mustafi might both be out for this game? They're both doubts, for injury doubts, I think. So they both got knocked. So that's a big blow. Yeah,
it is. Yeah, well, the title race is still officially on thanks to Eriksen's goal against Palace. I tell you what, Spurs ground that result out, didn't they?
It's encouraging for Spurs fans because, you know, we're used to over the last number of weeks seeing Spurs win in such convincing fashion, like a swashbuckling style, playing really well, and they found it difficult against Palace.
Off the back of a defeat, obviously the big one against Chelsea, and then Palace playing really, really well, for Spurs to get that 3 points was very impressive, I suppose. Yeah, and Arsenal got a little bit fortunate themselves, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's one of those things that you've got to keep knocking on the door, and like, it seems like a little bit of luck has sort of...
And Robert Huth will open it for you.
Well, quite, yeah. I'll just smash it down.
Let me boot that down for you, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was ideal. But at the time of recording, because we don't know the Man United result so far, Arsenal need to be 5 points better than City and United over 6 games to get the top four. And that's doable, but sort of just about within the realms of possibility, but it's still completely dependent on what happens elsewhere. So it's...
There's going to be no St. Tottenham's Day next season, is there?
Certainly,
right.
I missed that
maybe
day.
Next season.
If I was Arsenal, I would approach that game exactly the same way they approach the City game.
Every game now will be with a back three, and it has to be like that. They have to win every game to have any chance.
They have to try, basically.
Yeah, of course,
he says he likes the new formation, and he said, I was surprised how quickly the players took to it.
Well, it's funny. I think he's been a bit cheeky there, because I heard on fairly good authority today that Wenger and Arsenal have been trying that formation and training for quite a long time.
Right,
and Wenger's always resisted implementing it for some reason. And people who knew that they were trying it were confused as to why it never got rolled out. Mm. And then obviously eventually it did, and it's been...
Well, perhaps he was waiting for a big game like against Man City, and of course tried it out against away to Middlesbrough, a game that they won and should have won. Mm. Like, so a little bit of match practice with it, and then into the semi-final, and it paid off. It was a little bit of a gamble, but then I suppose it always is.
There was talk that Rose might be back, isn't there, for this
one? Yeah, that would be a big boost.
If he's fully fit. And Dembele's got a bit of a knock as well, which is a big sort of blow for Spurs.
This would be huge for Pochettino if Spurs won, because Spurs will finish higher than Arsenal, surely.
But it's confirmed that they win that one, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Yeah. But if they finish higher than Arsenal, but they lost this one, well, obviously they would lose ground on Chelsea. And I mean, if it isn't already over, then that would certainly put it beyond doubt. Assuming Chelsea, they've obviously got to go to Everton, so this is a chance for Spurs. But if they could win that one, as you say, Luke, that kind of extra, almost like the psychological impact of that, to say we finished above Arsenal and we beat them towards the end of the season.
Part of Spurs' problem and last season, the collapse at the end of the season last year was a great example of this, has been their bottle going. But this season, they don't look like that team. They look like a team that's confident and will dig out the results they need. So, that would put down a real marker. But I think one of the things that's difficult for them at the moment is they've still got to play Arsenal, they've still got to play West Ham. Obviously, it's Chelsea that they're competing with. Those are the three teams that want to do them over the most. Mm. So it's just unfortunate timing of the fixtures that they've got three teams highly motivated against them that sort of potentially have a say in what happens.
But it is helpful for Spurs that they don't have to face an already relegated Newcastle United who hammered them on the last
game. Yeah.
Sorry, wasn't it 10-man relegated Newcastle United?
And this is what you're about to buy, Moussa Sissoko.
Yeah. There you go. We were talking a bit earlier about the Griezmann, Antoine Griezmann transfer thing that's rumbled on. Well, a fantastic transfer story in a newspaper, which I won't name because I don't want to give them the publicity, was earlier this week was superb, right? They led with Xavi, the great Xavi, saying that Dele Alli is going to go to City, or that City are going to sign Dele Alli, right? Mm. And that was like the firmly implied, not just implied, but stated in the headline. If you drill down into the newspaper report itself, the quotes from Xavi were, Pep Guardiola knows he needs to sign British players, Dele Alli is the best British player. That was it.
Right, okay. Right,
and then, if that wasn't bad enough, this later on in the week, Xavi came out and said, I didn't speak to him anyway.
Really?
He's denying ever speaking to him in the first place.
Xavi's got previous with this, though, hasn't he?
He's been shilling for Qatar, hasn't he, this week as well?
Yeah.
Xavi!
What is it about amazing...
Shilling for oil.
Amazing footballers that you think... You think, they're going to be classy individuals as well. And sometimes they're not.
But if you spend all your time in a bubble, you're not really going to know what's right and what's wrong, really.
But this is why when Michel Platini and all that FIFA business happens, we have, perhaps seen a little bit of footage from him as a player and what a phenomenal player he was. But we know him more as a football administrator chap, if you like. And so when Platini, when that sort of thing happens, or even with someone like Franz Beckenbauer with some... silly quotes about World Cups in Qatar. You think, come on. But again, but this will perhaps happen, with players that we've seen and we've thoroughly enjoyed their playing career.
It will,
maybe Xavi's putting in the groundwork.
He probably is. going back to the game, this Arsenal-Spurs game, in this case, Spurs-Arsenal, a few years ago, it was like a derby, it was full of goals. There was like 2-5-2 wins in a row. There's one where Adebayor was sent off for that tackle on, or high foot, I suppose, on Cazorla.
Remember a 4-4? I remember a 5-4.
Yeah, but more recently, they've been fairly low scoring. I mean, there was a 2-2 last season, but other than that, they've not been as...
A lot of 1-1 draws, as I remember it. I'm imagining that. But
Arsenal were 5-1 to get into the top four this season, as you were mentioning earlier, Jim. £10 on that with Bet365 will return £60, including stakes. It'll be a great game to watch. I'm looking forward to it.
Very much so, yeah. And of course, if Spurs can win that, Chelsea go away to Everton. Now, this is the game that Chelsea... This is the weekend that Spurs need a little bit more of a swing, don't they? They're 4 points behind. And Chelsea going away to Everton is obviously a tough place. And wouldn't Ronald Koeman love to play his part in Spurs winning the title?
He would. And didn't Chelsea struggle really badly against Everton earlier this season? beat 5-0 and one of the best performances of the year.
How long ago was that?
A number of months. But this game, I don't know if you guys remember, but I remember, not vividly, but I remember watching the game 3-ish years ago at Goodison Park. Chelsea beat Everton 6-3. It was an unbelievable game. And I think there was...
Is that the one where Drogba scored?
There were six goals in the last 20 minutes. No, Costa scored a couple.
Oh, sorry.
There were six goals in the last 20 minutes. Incredible. Like, it was basically the Martinez era in, like, microcosm. Yeah. So, well, we lost 6-3 at home, but it was a great game.
Do you remember the three?
Yeah.
Well,
they were good. He's a perfect Belgian manager, really, isn't he?
But I actually thought Chelsea, the score, I mean, you rarely find me saying this, as you guys know, but I thought Southampton were quite unlucky against Chelsea. It wasn't a 4-2 game, that. Yeah. Chelsea just, I'm talking about the game earlier in the week. Chelsea were just ruthless. I thought Southampton did okay. I mean, they were on the end of essentially a battle.
Well, the great thing for Chelsea is that Costa scored a couple of goals, so his drought is over and he looks more motivated again. Maybe he just wants to go out with a bang, who knows? But it's absolutely crucial that they got him firing again. But Everton, they have been in good form generally late, but they were very, very poor against West Ham. And everyone aside from Spurs and Man United, really, has got sort of quite weird, shonky form. If you look at the form table, there's a lot of red losses in most of it. And yeah, I think there's a bit of pressure on Lukaku here as well, because we've seen him marked out of big games and he's perhaps a little bit ineffectual. And is it maybe a little bit of an audition for him as well?
Well, I think that's a fair comment, actually, because, excuse me, like, Lukaku's clearly a phenomenal player and he might well finish as top scorer. And I think that will be the most important thing, really, if big clubs are looking at him. But he hasn't scored in too many of the big games and has been marked out once or twice. Not all the big games, of course. I think he has scored, you know, in, I remember an FA Cup game where he scored against, it might have been Chelsea, was it, when he went on that amazing run.
He didn't play that one against West Ham last time out.
Yeah, but I think Jim's got makes a fair point. But I think against his old club, the club who sold him before he got a chance, you know, he was going to have a bit of extra motivations. Conte had a subtle dig at Man City. Saying about they've spent a lot of money in recent years, but he said it's not the case who spends the most wins the league. And he said, if you have to spend money, try and spend the money in the right way to take players with the right characteristics for your idea of football.
He actually had a dig at both Manchester clubs, didn't he? It was reported in the Telegraph, I think. And in fairness, if you take the last three seasons, Chelsea's net spend, I know these horrible fans like to talk about net spend, but in the context of this discussion, Chelsea's net spend over the last three seasons is only about 30-odd million, 33 million. If you look at the two Manchester clubs, I think it's, you know, well over 100 million for both.
I mean, Chelsea have bought players, of course.
Yeah, if you 60 million for Oscar, didn't
exactly,
they?
Exactly, that's part of it.
What a deal that was for them. Yeah. But Pep bit back. Because he could be a little bit prickly. And he reminded Conte that he won the Champions League at Barcelona with eight academy players.
That was ages ago.
And he still did it, though. But he said he also...
That he inherited as well, possibly.
Yeah.
He helped them through, didn't he?
Well, there's one or two, yeah. I mean, he inherited the likes of Messi and Iniesta and whatnot. But then I suppose
what a bequest that is.
But then he was Barcelona B manager. Anyway, it's a bit pointless to get into all that kind of stuff. But he also said that everyone spends a lot of money these days.
Of course they do,
So there we are.
Everton are 5-2 with Bet365 to blast the title race to bits. and beat Chelsea. £10 return, £35 including the stake. I mean, you know, Chelsea have got the much easier run in, but if this happens, if Everton beat them and Spurs win, it's 1 point and then anything's on.
Look at Luke's little face.
He's
in the pockets of big title race.
No, I am. I love a title race. I won't deny it.
Obviously.
I support Portsmouth. Look at your joy.
Were they in a title race? Not really, but they got the promotion.
Yeah, exactly. They could still win the league, Portsmouth, actually. Two games left, 4 points off top.
Is that what this is really about? It's 6 points left.
I'm tempted to say watch this space, but that would be boring.
Yeah, that's what we're really doing, isn't it?
No. You're talking about Portsmouth, but you're saying Spurs.
No. Portsmouth are a proper club, mate.
With Harry Redknapp links.
What do we think of Gus Poyet, the manager of Shanghai Shenhua, wanting to sign John Terry? That's a lovely old job all round.
Well, he's got Obafemi Martins and Carlos Tevez there, and Freddie Guarín. Remember him?
Yeah.
Didn't Tevez go to like Disney World or something and really upset because he was like injured and he just went to Disney World and everyone got really upset with him?
I caught a bit of a game the other week, and it was Shanghai Shenhua against. I've got it written down here, what they called. Tianjin Quanjin.
You
pronounce it right.
I was going to say that.
And they had Axel Witsel and Alexander Pato playing for them.
Yeah.
And Pato missed a penalty in that game.
Did he?
Is that the one where he got sarcastically clapped?
I think he might have done.
Or given a sarcastic thumbs up by the defender.
I think he might have done,
that. We spoke about that.
Okay, right.
It's always worth checking out the Chinese Super League, though.
Yeah, for
it
sure.
It says here.
Said no one ever.
But what's our bet of the week, Luke?
Our bet of the week with Bet365 comes from Iceland. Enough water's gone under the bridge for us to be able to speak to Icelandic football fans.
You meant it was in the Icelandic Premier Division?
Yeah, no, that's a swerve, isn't it? It's from what are the markets on that?
It's from an Icelandic listener.
Ah, right.
Frafran Ingerson So hello to you, Haraf. And he said, I would love to be a part of this week's preview show, and I'll keep this concise. My bet of the week is Gylfi Sigurdsson to score at any time in the Man United v Swansea game.
Like it.
It's just 4-1 on Bet365. So £50 returns, £250 clean stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to bet, and please do gamble responsibly. For more information, go to gamblerware.co.uk. That's from Haraf and Ingerson. Thanks for that, Haraf. And he says, best wishes from Iceland.
I'd like you to roll your R's a little bit more when you say Hrafn.
Swansea's Gylfi, according to a stat I read earlier, Swansea's Gylfi Sigurdsson.
He's from Iceland.
He is from Iceland too, yeah. So it's a patriotic choice. He's scored two and assisted three more in his last five games against Man United in the Premier League, and he has found the net in each of his last two appearances at Old Trafford.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with Iceland. No. He's read the stats and he thought there's a big chance.
This man's not a dribbling nationalist. He's a sensible man.
Yeah.
Dribbling nationalist.
Those two things aren't mutually exclusive. No. So that's that.
Shall we look ahead to the weekend, gentlemen?
Yes, we should.
All right, then.
I've got a highlight here before we go into what the listeners are saying.
Go on.
I saw this earlier from Daniel De Rossi. Did you read this quote?
No.
Daniel De Rossi piped up about, in quotes, modern football. He says, when I see those players do live Instagram videos from the locker room, I'd like to take a baseball bat to all their teeth.
Wow.
My type of man.
That's such an accurate swing as well.
Yeah, I know, right?
Why didn't he say axe?
Yeah, I know, right? Then you've been fully on board.
The funny thing is, right, adding teeth makes it a lot worse.
It makes it more visceral, doesn't it? Yeah, you can imagine them smashing blood and just tooth on the wall.
Yeah. So anyway, let's turn our attention to the listeners, because as far as I know, Daniel De Rossi isn't a listener to this show, and we all value our teeth, so we hope that we stay the same way.
Probably why he's so violent.
I told our social media guy not to do Instagram stuff. Anyway, this is from Tom Vaughan. He says, hi, chaps. What I'm most looking forward to this weekend is my team, Gillingham, potentially facing relegation at the hands of Justin Edinburgh, the manager they recently sacked, who is now in charge of Northampton Town. If Port Vale beat Fleetwood, possible, and we lose to Town, likely, that'll be it for club legend A.D. Pennock, who'll be off to join the groundsman, presumably clearing the way for the return of club legend Andy Hessenthal to have a crack at his fourth stint at Gills manager and a 10th place finish in League 2. How's that for some spicy narrative? That would be dreadful. I hope that doesn't happen to you, Tom. But again, just to reiterate, I support Portsmouth, so it can't get much worse than that. Another Icelandic highlight, looking forward to the weekend.
Here we go.
From Gunnar Olli Dagmarsson. He says, after 9 months of pre-season, the Icelandic Premier League starts this Sunday. The weather forecast is good. There's storm and hail forecast over Reykjavik. So keep an eye on that.
Yeah, we will.
I just love hearing from Icelandic listeners.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because we were led to believe in the summer just gone that there's only about 50 people living in Iceland. So it's good to have them all listening.
Yeah.
They've sent us the bloody weather and all that.
Evan Kearney says, seeing if Alexis Sanchez can pull through the critical condition he's in after that brutal assault. Pray for Alexis.
Absolutely. Thoughts go out to him.
Zachary Markham, Grimsby Town have a strict ban on inflatables at Barnet this weekend. You mentioned this to me earlier, Mark.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Due to an altercation with a blow-up shark from a previous meeting. So the fans have crowdfunded a mariachi band to go to the game. I'm hoping for a Mexican rendition of our song, We Piss on Your Fish.
I love that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, you know, you've said we can't have inflatables, but you haven't said anything about a mariachi band.
Yeah, that's great. That's the next logical idea. Yeah. From
you haven't said anything about our lungs.
What about inflatables?
The inflatable shark attack, we'll call it.
Yeah.
The fan was found guilty of assault. Assaulting a steward, apparently.
Do you reckon he just sort of pushed through, didn't like deflated it massively and just pushed through it?
I don't know if it's possible.
And I'll finish off with this one. Lee Moore saying, Leroy Furt is on the brink of relegating yet another Premier League team to the Championship.
The Furminator.
Yeah, I think it's two relegations from the PL so far, isn't it? I don't know why I called the PL. From the Premier League so far.
One was QPR, one was Norwich.
Norwich, yeah, yeah. Some people have said three, but I can't for the life of me work out whether it's three. It can't
Swansea,
be three.
Very soon.
That will be three, right? Mm. Yeah, okay, fair enough. But anyway, cheers for that, Lee, and thanks to everyone who messaged us with looking forward to the weekend messages.
Have you got enough inflatable items in your life, Peter?
I don't have any inflatable items.
I think it would be the kind of thing you would have.
Well, I have loads of tat in my house, like so much, but yeah, I don't have any inflatable items.
Let's let the listeners behind the curtain here. So Marcus forgot to print out his running order today, so he got Pete's one.
Why
Pete
are
said,
you
look,
doing this?
Pete, you can print out a running order for me and I'll take your one. And Pete said yes. Pete, on his notes on the running order, has written, I don't have enough inflatable items in my life. A mattress is a classic single man piece of property.
Oh yeah, that's the only inflatable thing I own.
You've got an inflatable mattress.
I don't sleep on it. It's in the cupboard.
Why is that a classic single man thing? You've got a bed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I presumably know other upset single men who occasionally ask to sleep in my front room. So
come to Hackney.
Are you going to bring your inflatables to Hackney End Pond?
I might pop the mattress on top of the crowd and just surf.
That'd be great.
Oh, my God.
That'd be great.
It's Pete Donaldson's version of John Bon Jovi. On the I think...
With an inflatable guitar.
Now you're talking. If anybody ends up on that inflatable mattress in Pete's house, you are a friend. Knighthooded of the
Ramble. You got a Lithuanian knighthood of the Ramble.
Knight of the Ramble.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Right, there it is. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. It's been an absolute pleasure, everybody. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from me. Spurs host Arsenal.
They do.
Will Alexis Sanchez recover from that fat lip that he received?
He didn't do emails, you knob.
Fuck me.
We're having a nightmare.
Oh, my God.
Right, emails. Just come off the back of that, because that was fine, that plug.
Yeah.
Just do the emails.
Are you not having the pen? You're not allowed the pen.
You don't use it properly.
Pen revoked, all right?
Marcus, come around here, mate. Come around here.
Come around here.
Come around and see Uncle Luke.
What a little monkey. What a little monkey man.
What a little monkey man, Marcus.
What a little mugwump.
Gibbon mitts.
Little mugwump. Oh. You little mugwump.
What a little melt.
What a little mugwump. Capri Sun drinking melt.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.